Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining our daily Government Marketing University ideation call. This is Luann Brossman. I am the CEO and founder of GMarkU, and I'm thrilled to have you all here today. We have a great presentation today. Heron Heffron is backed by popular demand. They do their pulse polls, and he is here today to share with us a lot of new insights that he and Mary from Market Connections have gathered from government. So, Aaron, share your screen and take it away. And as always, everybody, please mute your mics. And if you have questions, please feel free to put them into the chat room, or we'll also open up for Q&A at the end of Aaron's presentation. All right, Aaron, we can see your slide.
Aaron, you're muted.
There we go.
There we go.
All right, we're back to presentation. All right, here we go. All right, good morning, everybody. As we know, this has been an interesting time. And one of the things that keeps us going in market research is when the fact is that people don't really know what's going on out there. There's nothing that a researcher likes more than an environment where you have no idea what your customers are thinking or what's going on around out there right now. So with that in mind, what we decided to do back at the beginning of April is conduct ongoing polling of the federal audience. It's a rapidly changing situation out there. There's evolution from week to week, really. And we wanted to get the idea of what's going on and then take that information to try to help marketers and BD and sales and other strategy folks to figure out what's the best way to reach people in these current situations. Most of you know us right now. We at Market Connections, we've been doing this for 20 plus years in the public sector. So we go out and do thousands of interviews and surveys every year with these folks. Many of you know us for our federal marketing study, the media study that we do every year, but we do a number of other things as well. This is one of those situations that we do where we try to react to current topical issues that are going on that are hopefully short term. But the short term often has an effect on the long term. And that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of as we go along. So just to give you a view, as I mentioned, we launched this survey effort out at the beginning of April, really with an idea that this is going to be ongoing. And what you're seeing right now, the results we're going to show, I'm going to show you today, in 2 months may be different. They may be the same. We don't know at this particular point, but I wanted to give everyone a little bit of a flavor of what we're seeing right now as we've gone. And really the efforts in this first survey, and it will evolve as we go, as other issues come up, was really to look at workplace behaviors, how they've changed, understand how business has changed a little bit to this point. Now, keep in mind, this survey that we're talking about was conducted in really just in April. So this is data as of the kind of the beginning to the end of last week at this point. So beginning of April to about the third week of April. See how the environment has changed, but also provide a little bit of guidance for you all right now about what you can and should be doing in order to react accordingly as we go. A good number of folks were in the DC area, was split out between the DC area and all around the country. And we all know that geographically, folks are reacting and coping with the pandemic a little bit differently. So that's something we're going to keep in mind as we go, as well as seeing some differences between those who are working at defense agencies versus those who are working in civilian agencies. We are seeing some differences there with respect to how they communicate, how they work, and how they're working with vendors. So to give you to start giving you a little bit of view on this right now, some of this at the beginning is not surprising. This is some of the things that we all have been dealing with as well. Anyone who's worked in an office environment up until March has been affected similarly to what we've seen in the federal workplace right now. Half of those folks we talked to are all working remotely, working completely remotely at this particular point, or are working at least most of the time, maybe into the office once a week. As we go, the startup of new projects in April has slowed. I think, and I really view April as the adjustment period. March was the shock. April was the adjustment. So what's going to be interesting is to see what's going this point forward. But we do see all those demand for the agency's services has gone up in many cases. So April was really a little bit of a pause. Things were a little slow as people kind of get their feet back underneath them again. Telework was the big issue, the big surge that happened during the month, is that before the pandemic, before the distancing efforts were underway, we had about half of the folks saying that they did not work remotely, that they did not telework. But you had half that said they at least did it sometimes, maybe once a week or whatnot. Now that has shifted. 90% of everybody is teleworking at least some of the time. 10% still essential employees going into their job on a regular basis, so very small number. The interesting thing was taking a little bit of a temperature of these folks of what they think the future is going to hold. And what we're seeing is that many folks are saying that it's going to increase the likelihood that they're going to telework in the future. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. What we did hear from many folks is that some of their bosses who were very much against teleworking, or agencies that did not have policies, are now starting to reconsider those. So, you know, some of them said, you know, look, this really forced the issue. There's been a lot of demand for it. And I think this is going to have effects upon marketing you do from a recruitment standpoint. This could actually end up helping the federal government in the long run with respect to recruiting new employees and bringing new employees on board. It's really pushed some agencies to recognize that their work can be done remotely and take advantage of, as we've seen in some of the news that's come out, the IT modernization efforts that went on that have really been the push of the last 5 years in a lot of federal agencies, starting to see some of the benefits of that now, that the infrastructure can support some of this. But infrastructure is one thing, agency culture is another issue. This, I think, is really pushing the agency culture right now for growth. So it really forced the issue on a lot of these agencies at this point. The other issue that we see here is that that we are seeing a change in communication. You're seeing a change in the communication patterns and the way people communicate. Now, this is one of those things, you know, we just talked about Zoom fatigue right now. Who knows how video is going to settle in to be a regular part of our situation right now. Calling conference platforms are definitely something everybody's using, but you see the huge surge in video. I mean, that number was nowhere near that 2 months ago. The question is it something that is going to continue? And I think that's to be determined. It's going to be interesting to see how the use of video has declined. I know right now you have that uncomfortable moment where people send you the link, you log on, and you're like, all right, is this going to be a video call? Is this going to be an audio call? I don't know. And you kind of try to take the cues from the person who set up the meeting. So that's going to be, you know, the setting up the expectations and what the norms are going to be. It's going to be interesting to see as you're going along. The other interesting thing to seeing is what we joked about at the beginning. Many of us, is that you know, we all joke that these, you know, this was a meeting that could have been an email. That, you know, the common phrase is that we saw half of the folks writing emails instead of scheduling meetings. And emailing colleagues more than they did before, rather than trying to schedule the meeting. So there's a lot more of the written back and forth going on now within the agencies themselves. And I've been thinking as well about how our materials, our marketing materials, our educational materials, how well are those actually written? Am I leaning too heavily on visuals or the ability for an individual to be there to explain it? You're getting a lot of these emails going back and forth now. I think there's going to have to, at least in the short term, be an acknowledgement that things are going to have to be in plain language, easily read, easily digested in those emails as they go along. So, you know, there is a little bit of a difficulty. We are seeing people speaking with their colleagues. Some folks are speaking with their colleagues less. This is especially true in defense agencies. Defense agencies are scheduling fewer meetings. They're writing more emails. And their colleague interactions, you know, are definitely down a little bit as far as actually speaking and talking with their colleagues. Beyond the communication internally, you know, these are many of the lifestyle issues that all of us are facing right now. You know, especially in the month of April, we had a lot of folks working outside their normal hours, working longer hours, figuring out that work-life balance that is a challenge for everybody right now. You know, the need to have to reschedule meetings and be flexible, and even things like scheduling childcare. I mean, having, you know, everybody with family, you know, small children and even teenage children or grown children being home right now, trying to figure out how to manage all of that all at the same time. They're having the same issues, at least in the month of April, that everybody else has. So having a little bit of patience for those folks is going to be continually necessary. Now, what we did want to start to get to, it's nice to know where their work situation is, understanding where they are in relation with you all, with the contractors and vendors they have. It's a little bit of a mix right now. There are some folks that are leaning on their contractors a little bit more than they were in the past. Some are doing it a little less frequently, but in general, I would say it's skewed a little bit more leaning in. You've got a challenge now as far as the amount of time you have, the commitment, trying to figure out the work environment a little bit differently. All of that is going to be an issue for these folks going forward. The good news is, right now they generally feel well supported by their vendor community. You all have done a good job at making sure they know that you're there to help, that you know, you're a phone call or a Zoom call away in order to step in, providing the advice. But they said that what they really are going to need and how you can further support them is continuing to provide that consultative advice and short and long-term solutions and their training materials. You know, it's not right now about changing their payment terms or budgets at this point. I think we saw in this survey that budgets for these agencies really have not changed. Some have increased, but very few have had declining budgets or freezes at this particular point. Any slowdowns that they're communicating at this point are due more toward of internal coordination, where maybe the staff hasn't caught up with the work yet, not necessarily because of the dollar commitment. But what they're really looking for the help is for you to kind of help continue to provide information that they need, come to them with solutions, come to them with ideas about how they can adapt, how they can adjust as they go along. You know, they said, you know, our contractors have been very flexible, they've adapted. So there's a lot of goodwill going on out there right now. I think they feel like, hey, we're all in this together, we're doing this, everybody's kind of stepped up and worked. Often the contractors were providing tips and suggestions on teleworking, because many of the vendors did, but the feds themselves didn't. So providing some suggestions and advice on how to handle that and how to work more efficiently has been one of those things that vendors has done particularly well. So they want this more advice. They want some more consultation. The question right now, and the question for all of us, is what's the best way to deliver this material? How do I get it in their hands right now? And I think what we're finding is that in the current environment, now this being in April, remember this is, you know, just the start of it, is that they are looking toward those webinars. They're much more getting online, situations like we're in right now, and talking, going back and forth. I think webinars is a shorthand for, you know, even the virtual conferences, the virtual meetings where they're sitting able to observe and receive the information remotely online. They're also going to the research websites. They're going to the websites and basically anything that's online at this point. Not surprisingly, is where they're going. Where you're seeing the decline to some extent is going to the vendor sales reps, you know, talking to the individuals that they have that day-to-day contact with, those types of things, that conversation, you know, even when you see the peer and colleague input, you know, that skews a little less, you know, still up because it's a valuable source. You know, it's still that trouble of communicating and getting that back and forth going with their peers and colleagues. So you'll see this on, you know, the online right now is where everybody's going. The question is this the way it's going to continue? Is it going to hold that way? Or are they going to get webinar, Zoom fatigue, whatever it is along the way and say, oh my God, I can't possibly sit through another webinar. Right now, I just want to talk to a person and have a back and forth. That's the big question right now that we're going to continue to follow as we go. But for right now, it's consuming the information they can. So a couple things we've seen, you know, that I want to emphasize from this, from what we've seen. First and overarching is we're all in this together and don't screw it up. There is goodwill right now. If many of you were part of the presentation I did on the media study, the annual media study we did, and one of the things that we asked about this past year was the type of materials that you trust, who you trust to give you good information. And one of the things that we saw was that the vendors themselves were not a trusted source. They were bottom of the list. People didn't necessarily trust the materials, trust everything that they received or were told from a vendor, from a contractor. We may be in a moment where that can reset. I was worried about that because, you know, that's the root of everything. They've got to trust that what you're giving them is true, is helpful. So this may be a moment where you can rebuild that trust and rebuild that partnership. April was the month of adjustment. May and June are going to be catch-up months. It's going to be a little even crazier than it is now, of people trying to catch up on what they're behind on, looking at, you know, June, July, staring down procurements at the end of the year, summertime, all that sort of stuff is going to be up. One interesting thing is the new work styles may lead to new opportunities and innovation. You know, as traditional agencies have been pushed right now to open up their eyes and say, hey, look, the workforce can do things remotely, that may open them up to other innovations and other changes that they might have been resistant to. Remember, this is an incredibly risk-averse audience. This may open them up for trying something new at this particular point. You've got to root your message in advice and support. You know, educational materials can provide that comfort for them right now. And you've got a good image right now of being helpful and being supportive in that way. DOD especially, equip your sales teams with the educational material the same way. DoD is reaching out to their salespeople. They are still leaning on vendors to provide them that information, much more so than the civilian agencies at this point. DoD are leveraging their contacts and leveraging people. So make sure that your sales teams have that material readily on hand and can provide that advice. But making sure that all of your materials are in both a push and pull environment where you're sending things out, but at the same time, they're in a central location that folks know how to get to them easily. And then as we've talked about before in other materials, that the leveraging those partnerships with the trade associations, with the trade publications, those are still the vehicles that folks have trusted before and they're going to trust now to give them the information that they need in order to move forward and do things. So all of those pieces, looking at now, again, we're going to be continuing to do these questions as we go forward. And I welcome any suggestions you have for other questions that we want to include. We're continuously fielding these questions. So we're adding to the information as we go along so we can track that information and track the evolution of it. Toward the end of the year, when we do our release of our media study, it's going to be interesting to see how those media properties and media sources have evolved over this year compared to past years. So stay tuned for that information coming along, as well as some of the information we have coming up in a June release with around federal personas and the individuals that sit behind those personas and how they're doing procurements and purchasing. So with that, I open it back over to questions from everybody. Luann, mm-hmm. you want to, bring sure. everybody back
that was
up
awesome.
Here?
We keep hearing, and now we've heard it from every single media partner company that's been on these calls, and now we're hearing it from Market Connections, who is the leader in research, that the attendance is up with virtual events. So, man, we need to capitalize on that as government marketers and just put as many of those events out there as we can, because it's obvious they're attending and it's easy to do a virtual event. So great insight. One question I would have is, which I get a lot, do we know what platforms government is currently using and what they can't use? Is that something that you have asked or have thought about asking?
Yeah, we have not. That is definitely something that we have in the queue to ask about the platforms they're using. We don't really know that yet.
Hey, Aaron, this is Alan, just to throw in, I know many years ago when I was at IMIX, we had looked at that, and there were certain platforms that had code that was written in China or that required a download. I remember WebEx was one at the time. The Adobe Connect platform had been approved for use on Nippernet, I think, where others hadn't. So I haven't tracked how that's changed in the last 6-7 years, but I know that information's out there. I'm not sure where to go, but there are considerations there around that.
There are, and the security consideration is the biggest one, and I think that was definitely an inhibitor in a lot of these platforms getting out there. And then a comfort level and training as we go. I mean, I still have a question of how lasting the video conferencing and video calling is going to be going forward. I think there's a little bit of a connection. I don't want to say novelty because that really minimizes it, but a little bit of the, it's great to see, but I think it's going to be a pick and choose situation going forward.
I just had an observation, and I think, so Luann, on the Government Marketing University Mentors group, the last one that we did was obviously virtual, and it was on WebEx. It was set up by Tasha, who's at Cisco. And it occurred to me when that happened that in the last month and a half, however long we've been at this now, that was the first time I've seen WebEx used in any one of these. It's either Zoom, GoToMeeting, Teams, Skype for Business. But it almost struck me as weird because WebEx used to be like Kleenex, right? It was just the generic term for doing this. And I was like, wow, the only time I've seen this in the last month and a half was when I had a WebEx employee or a Cisco employee driving the event. So
yeah, kind of I see it on CNN all the time. So they obviously are out there with some of the big enterprises, the news networks. That's interesting, though.
I just sent Bob Gourley the question of which platforms were useful, because he's doing sessions with particularly DOD CTO types on a regular basis. So as soon as I get that back, I'll send it over.
You know, it's funny you say his name. I have his name written down here, Mark, because I've been reading all his posts. If anybody doesn't know Bob Gourley, G-O-R-L-E-Y, he was what? He was the CIO.
He was a CTO at the Defense Intelligence Agency.
And he's an ambassador at GMARC. We've had him speak at GAME, but he's been writing a lot of insightful posts throughout this pandemic. So I encourage everybody to go out and kind of look for him. So we have a question, Aaron, from Barbara Brodsky. Barbara, are you still on? You just want to ask your question? I can read it. So she's
asking that,
that's right. So Barbara is saying that, Aaron, you included 66% of civilian agencies and 40% in the DC area, but did you say what their job responsibilities are? Are they SESers, GS levels?
These are individuals. Yeah, they're across the range. Generally, they're a GS 12 and 13 and above in all of this. They do have influence in the decision-making process for technology acquisitions as we go. So it's a mix. It wasn't specific, but they generally were higher level and have decision-making authority.
And I would really take up Aaron on his offer. If you have any questions that you feel like would be beneficial for your company, you know, make sure that you email Aaron or Mary or both and give them that question. It's a great opportunity for you to be able to do that.
I see Bob has his hand up. He's going old school. Raise his hand.
Yeah, I think I'm still in the classroom here when I look at all these faces. How you doing, Aaron?
Good.
Great. Great stuff, as always. Listen, I want to go back to the slide that you put up. It's called Surge Telework. Now, all of us in here are trying to get ahead of the curve and trying to figure out what life is going to be like after the pandemic. And you put up a slide that I think blew me away when you said in the future, it looks like 24%, or at least, is it, can you go back to that slide?
Yeah, I will. Here, let me try to get back to it here.
That Bob, are you going to where I went with, I'm shocked that almost a quarter of the feds think things are going to go back to the old ways?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For me, I couldn't even hardly listen to what you were saying after that, because that was so huge. Aaron, what do you think about a hold? Do you think that's just a fad, or I mean, you've been around a long time, seen a lot of stuff. So, what is it?
Really long time.
I think he just called you old, Aaron. I'm not.
Yeah, sure. I will let that.
I said experience, didn't I?
Aaron, you are not alone.
You meant it with all respect.
Yeah. That's like bless your heart at the end with all. I think what it's going to happen is, you know, and this is me looking a little bit into a crystal ball here, is that there is going to be a shift toward more flexibility for teleworking. I don't think that you're going to have a lot of people go full all in this. I think that's, until you have a management shift where you have individuals who kind of cut their teeth and, you know, grew up in the industry, teleworking at some point. I mean, you still have the average age of the federal workforce being 55 years old. You're talking people who, you know, the majority of their career was they had to show up at the office. Maybe on a Friday, you know, in the summer, they work from home. But for them, work from home was always, you know, the fancy way of, you know, saying, yeah, I'm going to check my email, but I've got other things to do. So, but I think that's going to be different now. Unfortunately, you still have a lot of people that are working in secure environments. And I also think, there's going to be a little bit of a shakeout and recategorization of what individuals have to be in a SCIF and what, and who has to work there and what's, you know, how that's going to be. I think there's going to be a lot of, not declassification, but kind of a stepping down in security requirements for, you know, more administrative positions and whatnot going forward. So I think you're going to see less of those offices be that way. And it's going to settle somewhere in the middle and slowly over the next 2 to 3 years. I think this is the direction where it was going. It was going to take 5, 6, 7 years to get there. And now I think this just accelerated the time frame where now it's a 2 year, 1 to 2 year time frame now.
It'd be interesting too to know they feel they will or they want to.
Yeah, I mean, this is how they envision the future to be, whether it's wishful thinking or not. The benefit of some of the people that we're talking, we weren't necessarily interviewing and surveying the true worker bees in this. You know, these were folks that do have some influence in decision making, so they're in more management type of roles. So they probably have a little bit better vision and are probably a little closer to reality as to what is real and what.
Yeah, that's good. So Aaron, a couple other questions for you. Can you provide how many people that you've surveyed for this?
Yeah, right now we are, it's an ongoing thing in the field. So we're in between somewhere between 150 and 200 folks as of now. This was a snapshot out of that. So it's a rolling, we're rolling and adding folks in there. So I look at these numbers with a plus or minus of like 5% either direction right now, but it definitely gives you the order of priorities.
And then Alan Rubin's asking and wondering about state and local surveys.
I would love to do some state and local type of pieces, but what we're doing right now is we're leveraging a lot of the things that we have in the field. Right now, and the federal research is, there's a lot of agents, a lot of companies right now doing this federal research overall. And then what we've been able to do is kind of piggyback on top of that as we go along. So as we do state and local, we'll be getting similar information. It's just the priorities for everyone right now are the feds, because honestly, that's where all the money is.
Hey, Aaron, just to, a follow-up on that, because I know you guys did a lot of digging into the state and local market in your last media survey.
Yeah.
Just a gut, do you think there would be a big difference at the state and local level from what you have found on the Fed side?
Well, I think the teleworking side of things, everybody's at home who can be at home right now. So I think as far as this, what's happening at this moment in time, as far as what they're consuming and how they're doing, I wouldn't see a huge bit of difference. We saw in our past research, state and local already be much more open to the webinars and the online consumption of materials, and them being hungry for information at all, because they don't get the same attention that the Fed folks do.
Yeah.
So I think they're the folks that are more likely to be going out and hunting and searching. So whatever you can put front and center and easy for them to find is going to be, marketing out to them is a tough thing, because they're so dispersed. There's so much out there, but the more you can put in a central location and let everyone know it's there, I think that's going to be
definitely a huge impact for inbound marketing for people who are focused mm-hmm. on that. But I'm just kind of noodling the fact that the state and local folks are on the front lines of this, right? And so there may be more of a need for them to be not sitting in front of their computers all day long and kind of engaging differently. Obviously, the role's going to play a big factor in that. But
yeah, it depends on what agencies they sit in and the role that they have. I mean, certainly. And it also depends on the state itself. I mean, every state, as we know, have been given the rope to do as they wish with regard to back to work, state, shelter in place, whatnot, and all of them are doing it in different ways. So I think that's a particularly difficult nut to crack at this point.
All right. Well, this has been awesome. Aaron, thank you so much.
Thanks, Luann.
Your ongoing insight is invaluable. Yes. Somebody have a question?
I can put a little perspective on this with Martha's help, if I may. The first major telework spike occurred after the Murrah bombing in Oklahoma City back in 95. And Martha, my wife was a Fed then, so I know personally that she was at home for about 10 days after that. It occurs to me that after 9/11, there was also a brief stay-at-home period. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, GSA has been ahead of the telework kind of movement for a long, long time. But to be honest, I think that there's been a lot on the federal side. I think there has been a lot of good use of telework, but there's also been abuses in telework. And so because there wasn't the technology available, like now people are requiring people to be on video when they telework as opposed to just calling into a call. That's not across the board. But here's an example. At HUD, the people who answer phones from the public telework 3 days a week, and their union agreement doesn't allow their supervisors to call them at home. It only allows them to requires them to check their voicemail once an hour. Now, that's what you're up against with agencies that have unions. And so it's not the world that we live in today, but I was shocked when I found that out. And so a lot of agencies, SSA, USDA, have kind of put a kibosh on telework. And I think what this is doing is it's demonstrating that the work can get done when more people are remote. And so I think it will definitely increase it or open up leadership's mind to allowing it in the future. As I'm putting the chat, Dominic Sale from GSA said, "We will not be going back to business as usual." And the lady from Justice said, "I can't wait to get everybody back in the office. I need to have the people around me." So it's like any, customer base, you have to look at the agency you're working with, the culture of that organization, and how they're implementing it. So,
yeah, I think that's key, is that no agency is going to be the same.
And no office within an agency is going to be the same. My last day at GSA, I walked out of the building holding two brown paper bags, and there wasn't a soul anywhere.
Wow. Martha, it's Alan Rubin. I know that your brand is built around that kind of customer engagement, customer success, and it's going to be interesting to see what the impact is on customer service levels or citizen service levels, if you will, and how this more dispersed workforce is changing, the reaction of citizens to how well the government is serving them.
I'm thinking through all that, and I'm, trying to think about, what the future holds. And I think that it definitely is accelerating the need for end-to-end digital services. Mm-hmm. And it's also cemented the issue of IT modernization and why we need IT modernization. It's not for the implementation of technology. It's for the improvement to, your services and your internal operations. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of those pieces are going to start to come together. But I've heard government people, admit that this moves forward, the digital, the need for digital transformation. My thing is the whole end-to-end journey. So people need to understand the importance of the digital side to the other components. So anyway, you could get me started on that. I'd probably take all the time, so I better be quiet.
We love your insight.
That sounds like another session.
Yeah. Luann's been talking to me. I'm like, everybody doesn't want to hear me talk about this customer stuff anymore.
Everybody tell Martha we want to hear from her.
Absolutely. I'd attend that one.
Well, we can do it.
Hey, we're all customers of the government too.
That's right. And I also think it shows this is when we really need the government, right?
Amen.
Federal, state, and local. Yep.
Martha. All righty, everybody. Well, this has been, as we just said, an awesome session. And Aaron, we welcome you back anytime you've got great data like this to share. So we're excited. Government Marketing University and Market Connections have a real strong strategic partnership, and we're really pumped about that and all the great work that you and Mary and the whole Market Connections team does to our community. So thank you very much. Thank you, everybody who joined us today. We had a great amount of people on our call, which excites us. Tomorrow is Friday, Wild Day, so wear your favorite hat or not, and we're just going to talk about some topics. I've actually been writing some down this week of things I want to talk about, and bring ideas and thoughts, and let's just kind of put it all out there and have a great Friday discussion. And then next week, go to gmarku.com/ideation. We've got great speakers coming in next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so pumped about that. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lynn. Bye.
Thanks, Aaron.